He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Captured and chained, while Chief Banda's village is sacked. Ryan pressed her face into her hands, but didn't bother wiping the tears that tracked down her cheeks. The manacles around her wrists and ankles were padded on the inside with leather, presumably to keep her skin from scarring. Ryan had hoped the padding would give some leeway that might allow her to pull herself free, but all her efforts had been fruitless. The blood seeping along one of her wrists was proof of that, and the other end of the chain had been locked to the sturdy, thick trunk of an acacia tree. Khalifa had chained her a ways back from the village, with a spear-carrying native standing guard. But even though she was in a sheltered thicket of acacia, with an occasional baobab, she was close enough to smell, and even see, the thick black smoke lifting from the roofs of the village huts, and to hear the cries of the people she had come to think of as her people, as they attempted to escape capture. For Khalifa hadn't contented himself with merely capturing her. Moments ago he'd sent his men in to ransack the village, with instructions to capture only the healthiest and strongest. Though her tears cascaded, a numbness had started in Ryan's chest the moment she'd seen Trent fall, and had steadily been spreading through her in a chilling wave ever since. She should be worried about Nyimbo, Moyo, Nyanja, June, Keiko, and the other villagers, like Yanni and her newborn baby and young daughter. Yet all she could think about was Trent, who at this very moment lay dead or dying, while she remained impotently powerless to help him. As she vainly tried to free her wrists once more, a cry of sheer frustration rose from inside her. The guard's expression remained impassive. Another roil of belching black smoke billowed into the sky. Ryan shuttered her gaze, feeling the bite of the manacles against her wrists as she clutched handfuls of her hair in both fists. Thank God Papa had passed on before Khalifa's attack. It seemed forever, and yet it seemed as though hardly any time at all had passed when Khalifa reappeared. The violin that Commodore Llewellyn Cornwall had gifted to her through the captain landed with a thud at her feet.
It is done. Stop blubbering. You will carry this on your journey to the coast. Once the bidders hear your talent on the instrument, the price we'll get for you could double.
Ryan glowered at him. She would sooner hurl the instrument into one of the fires raging behind the man than play it and give him even a shilling more of profit. Khalifa sank to his haunches before her. He jabbed a thumb in the direction of the sacked village.
You do realize the fault for all this is yours, Miss Hunter.
He said the words with a touch of disparaging joviality, as though it pleased him greatly to deem her at fault. Indignation lifted her chin. I sit here in chains at your hand, yet you attempt to blame me. I had absolutely nothing to do with it, and well you know it.
Oh, but I beg to differ, Miss Hunter.
He folded his hands and tapped his first two fingers against his lips, studying her with that stomach-sickening humour in his eyes.
Not long ago, did you not confess to some of the village females that your grandmother hailed from this tribe?
He tilted a nod to the burning village. Ryan's stomach pitched. But Khalifa didn't give her time to sort through the muddle of emotion swirling through her and to come up with a reply. He nodded.
Oh yes, I can see the truth dawning in your horrified eyes, Miss Hunter.
He leaned closer, as though about to impart the most important of secrets.
You see? A man named Wankulu came to me. Apparently you did something to get him banned from the village, But,
he waved a hand through the air,
that is not important. What is important is that he somehow became privy to your secret, Miss Hunter. And he came to me with it. And of course, knowing the kind of price I would get for a woman of your beauty, I had to come see for myself. So you see, the fault is undeniably yours, Miss Hunter. If your blood wasn't so tainted, if you weren't so beautiful.
He gave a little shrug, and his gaze slipped over her form. Revulsion riled in the pit of her stomach and whispered a chill along the back of her neck. A lecherous smirk twisted his lips. He reached out and fingered one of her curls.